This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast, and I'm Jane Johnson. Now, regular listeners to this podcast will know that each week I've been talking to a different career coach about some of the challenges their clients face, the way they work, and often digging into their own experience of motherhood and career that drew them to become career coaches in the first instance. But I want to change things up a bit over the next few weeks. I have to name check my lovely friend Viv Groskop here for this idea. She called me the other day and we were talking about podcasting and how I'm definitely not a natural interviewer or journalist, as Viv obviously is. So I was asking her for a bit of advice. By the way, if you haven't checked out her podcast and books, How to Own the Room, then you absolutely must. She and I got talking about this and landed on the idea of a sort of desert island discs of career coaching. So we'll still have regular guests and lots of career coaching advice, but I'll be asking my guests for their top five pieces of career advice for working mums, whether that's advice they bestow on their clients or from their own experience, or whether it's something that someone else has taught them. So off we go. And my guest today is Rebecca Amin. Rebecca has been a supporter of Careering into Motherhood since we started a few years ago. She has her own podcast, Career Happy Mums, and a Facebook group of the same name. She's a former HR exec turned coach, and you can find out lots more about her on our website. So, Rebecca, welcome. And before we get going, perhaps you could just give our listeners a quick rundown of your own career path and how you got to be doing what it is you do today.
Very quick sort of, I guess, whistle stop tour would be that I did psychology at university. So that sort of interest, I guess, in people and behaviour and all that stuff has always been there. But left university, ended up going into recruitment, then internally sort of into talent acquisition for an outsourced provider where I sort of worked on site with a number of different corporates. Spent some time in Singapore, worked my way up to senior manager level just before having my first son. And I think for me, it was very much in my head, I want to get to senior manager before I have my first child. And that was really important. And still very glad that I did that. But it was very much sort of, you know, and then I'll come back and, you know, it's not going to stop me and everything's going to be great when I get back into my career. And for some parts it was, but I think for me, having my children, so the first one who is now 9, we had in Singapore, then we came back to the UK. Our second one sort of followed just less than 2 years afterwards. And yeah, at that point of getting back into work, I just didn't have the same, I guess, drive, determination, motivation, satisfaction that I used to have. Not because there was anything wrong with my job nor anything wrong with the organisation, but for me, yeah, I guess the passion and that desire to kind of be the best I could be in that world, in that job, had kind of left me, which felt not very nice because I'd always been somebody that had performed well. And yeah, just kind of got to the point where I kind of realised that my motivations, who I was, had changed a bit. Found coaching myself and yeah, sort of long story short, became a coach myself and decided actually helping other women in that similar situation would be where I would like to focus my efforts and build my business, which is what I'm now doing. And I love it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that passion that you have clearly comes across. I know you're quite active on social media and in a number of Facebook groups. You have your own Facebook group and you seem to have almost endless energy because you run lots of campaigns and do loads to help other women. So for this episode, I was really interested. I thought, who is better qualified with all of your experience in HR and talent management, talent acquisition, obviously career coaching, supporting mums? I want to know, what are your top five pieces of career advice? Now, they could be things that you yourself have acquired along the way or things that people have told you. I'd like to unpick those sort of one by one. So a little bit like desert island discs, but for careers. Let's start with number five.
We're going backwards. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do like the charts.
Number five, I would say if you are in a situation where you feel something is missing, so your organisation could do something better or something could look different at home, or you can see, I guess, a gap where you're sat there thinking, oh, if only I had had this, or if only they did that, or if only my partner did this, or if, you know, whatever it might be, don't just think it, act on it. And I think that comes from personal experience and from that of clients. I often hear people or clients say, maybe after they've resigned, because sadly, many of my clients do end up changing careers or resigning, not all of them, but some. And often they'll say, oh, and now I've said this, or now I've done this, so many other people have said, this is a problem, or I wish. So for example, a client recently said, she told her manager when she resigned, oh, I've actually had some career coaching, I've decided to change direction, and use that as part of her sort of resignation, I guess. And they said, oh, I wish we'd known you were feeling this way, because we could have probably supported you with some coaching internally, even if the end result had have been the same. You know, or, you know, when I use the partner thing, not to sound derogatory to men and, you know, or any partner, but again, I often hear people say, oh, it's all on me. You know, I do absolutely everything. I can't do that job, or I can't change that because my husband is really busy. But again, quite often when there's a conversation, it may well be that it doesn't need to be that you're doing everything. You're doing everything because you've always done everything. And that's fine, isn't it, for everyone else?
There's a really interesting book by a woman called Jennifer Petrolieri, whom I interviewed actually for, if not the first, then the second podcast a couple of years ago. She talks about exactly that particular subject about, you know, we just take on, and women in particular, we have a sense or feeling that we can't say no to things. And she talks about sitting down with your partner and saying, what are the absolute must-haves? What are the things that, you know, basically life, our family life depends upon? And what are the things that we could potentially outsource? Or what are the things that potentially could just fly for a year or two or 6 months or whatever? And when you do that, you strip back to the real bare bones. And actually, it's really powerful.
Exactly. And I think it's that, and something I'd sort of add to that is that you might not be able to achieve perfection in absolutely everything. And if you've been somebody before having children that has been able to, you know, achieve really well at work and, you know, have a great relationship and have a lovely home and have lots of friends and, you know, have this, not that everyone's got a perfect life, but some of that is going to have to give in order for you to be able to continue on in a way that you're comfortable and happy with. So yeah, and I think that's stripping it back and sort of looking at, well, what are the must-dos versus the nice-to-haves? Or, and as I said, and I think when, if you have done it quite traditionally in terms of maternity leave, you know, if you're a mum who has been on maternity leave, maybe taken a year off, probably have assumed a lot of the childcare and the household stuff because you've not been working and that's the position that you've been in. When you go back to work, you know, your partner isn't going through that same transition. They were probably working for the last 11 months while you came. You know, so to sort of, there's not much of a change for them other than, you know, maybe your child's going into nursery and yes, they can see that you're now working, but in terms of extra responsibilities, it's, you know, having that conversation to say, well, actually, this is a change for both of us. This is a change for our whole family. But like I say, also the work thing, you know, if you're spotting things that are missing or could be done slightly differently, whatever that may be. And if you think, well, actually, this could be something that could positively impact all of our working parents, mums, dads, everybody, or even, you know, carers or anyone with any sort of other responsibilities outside of work, then, you know, if employees don't stand up and sort of highlight something that may not be working particularly well, or ideas that could be, you know, kind of brought to the table, it can't all just be HR's responsibility to think of the stuff that should be done. So I think that would be my sort of one is if there's something missing or something could be changed or something could be done better in whatever environment that is, stand up and start having the conversation.
Yeah, brilliant. I love that. So winging its way in, climbing up the charts at number four, what's there?
I would say number four would be don't assume things, which isn't massively dissimilar from the other, but what I mean by this one is this whole sort of feeling of, so if I use an example of if someone's unhappy in their job and sort of thinking about wanting to make changes, I often hear from clients, well, you know, I just don't know that I'd get it this good anywhere else, yet they're desperately unhappy. So it's like, what's so great about this situation? And often it's things like, well, you know, I get flexibility at the, you know, where I am now, or, you know, I've worked there for 10 years, so I've built up this credibility and this reputation. But actually, when you unpick that, the flexibility or the reputation or whatever it is the only thing that's good. So quite often there's this sort of underlying assumption of, I won't get that somewhere else. But if I'm talking to all these women every single year, as are many other people who are, I'd say at least 80% of them, getting this flexibility or working with these nice people or having the same positive thing about their job, that would stand to suggest that you can get these things at somewhere else. So stopping yourself doing something or asking for something or, you know, going out and trying to achieve something because you're assuming, oh, well, it won't work, or I won't be able to get it this good anywhere else, or that won't exist there, may well not be true. So again, even if it's about where you currently are and you're not looking to leave, but you're thinking, oh, well, I probably shouldn't go for that promotion because it will impact the family really negatively because I'll be around less, or, you know, whatever it might be, just think about, is that really true? How do you know it's true? And what could you do to mitigate it? Or what are you comfortable enough with to make that thing work? Because if you're unhappy now and you can see a situation that might make you happier, but you're just not doing it because of all this stuff you've invented in your head.
You've told yourself. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, there's, as a coach, you'll know there's loads of stuff around sort of self-limiting beliefs, but I think this goes further than that. And someone I used to work with had on their desk a sign that said, assumption is the mother of all screw-ups. And it's true. You know, you tell yourself these things that are not possible. I had a conversation with a woman yesterday who had a really senior job in asset management, and then she had a child and her employer, you know, wasn't able to flex. She had made a decision that she wanted to definitely be more present for her child. So she had told herself that was it. She was never going to find work again. And then she came across Careering into Motherhood and Facebook group and stuff. There's such that sense of positivity and women sharing stories and ideas and jobs. And it was like the, you know, a light went on for her, sort of just saying, actually, it might be possible. And she had just told herself that it totally wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've talked about sort of career changes and promotions and bigger stuff, but even if it's the other way that you're thinking, actually, I think I'd quite like to slow things down a bit. I've got young children and I want to be more present, or, you know, whatever it might be. If you're telling yourself, well, I can't do that because I'll lose my career and it'll all be terrible, how do you know that's true? You know, what can you do to ensure that that isn't the case? You know, you can still slow things down but still keeping your hand in some way. You know, do some training, in touch with your network, whatever it is that you need to do to kind of give yourself that comfort. So if there's something you want but you're not doing it because you're kind of telling yourself, oh, like, I can't because of X, Y, and Z, forget those things and think about how you could make it possible instead.
So we've had talk to people if something's not working, voice it, open the dialogue and debate. We've had don't assume things. What's next?
I think for number three, I would say don't feel bad if you feel differently as a parent or as a mother when you return to work. And, you know, as I shared my experience at the very beginning of this conversation, that's exactly what happened for me. And this one's really, really important to me because I think, you know, when I went back to work after my second child, particularly, I was saying all the things like, you know, this is my time now. This is, you know, to my husband, you know, this isn't just me going back sort of between children, like this is my career, and really meant those things, but then got back and just thought, okay, I'll let myself settle in. It must just be, you know, returning to work, stuff going on. I just need a few months to settle. But sadly, that wasn't the case. And, you know, I was really unhappy. And there were times where, you know, I would just come home and cry in the evenings because I just didn't, not because my job was awful or difficult or expecting the world of me, which is the case for some of my clients, but because I didn't feel the same. And I had this feeling of like, what is wrong with me? Like, I've got a flexible job. I get paid a decent salary. I work with nice people. I've been at the company for, like, by this point, 10 years. It must be me. I must be the issue. What's wrong with me? Everyone else seems to be happy. But I guess what I then found out, sort of what I took some time out, I found coaching. I started sort of reading around this area. And it isn't true that everyone else is super happy. Not that that makes it okay. But, you know, it is okay to feel differently just because you thought you were going to stay in a certain career for the next 20 years, or you were going to achieve a certain position or whatever it might be. things change for you and if you feel different, that's completely okay. And there will be other things that you can do. It's expected, I think now, I can't remember the number, but, you know, that we will reinvent our careers several times in our lifetime, you know, as we sort of go into this, I guess. It's interesting because I think the generation below us expect to have something like six different careers, whereas we, I guess, have been brought up by people who had a view of, well, a career is for life and a job is for life. And we're the generation that found it easy to, found it reasonable to move companies quite a lot. But now it's also okay to change your career. So it's okay if you feel differently. Don't feel like you're the problem. There's nothing wrong with you. It's completely reasonable that, I don't know, say 20 years into your career, you suddenly go, oh, I don't kind of want the same thing I wanted when I was 20. I don't wear the same outfits I did when I was 20. So it's okay to not want the same things career-wise. And that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. There's no shoulds.
Yes. I really love that point you make about accepting almost that you can reinvent yourself. You can have a number of different careers, because I definitely fall between the cracks of having parents who had this sense of a job for life and then coming out from college and going into one thing and not being happy and sort of twisting and turning and finding different things. And I remember when I left my last PAYE role, it felt like just stepping off precipice into a total abyss. But I just knew that it was something I had to do and knew that there was something I needed to do. I can honestly say I haven't, for me personally, I haven't looked back. And it sounds, you know, Rebecca, I'm sure you'd say the same. But it's trusting in yourself, isn't it? It's trusting in yourself that you will make it work. And I remember thinking, you know, if this doesn't work, I'll go and, I don't know, stack shelves at Sainsbury's or work in a cafe, whatever it is. But I needed to say, I've given it a go.
Exactly. And your experience isn't going to be erased because you left a job. Like you can still, and then for some people, they do have a change and then actually gravitate back towards where they were before or something similar, or, you know, and that's okay too. But it's this feeling of, you know, like you said, if you know something isn't making you happy, if you know that you need a change, if deep down you're just like, this just isn't working for me anymore, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're going back to square one. It doesn't mean you're going to earn a pittance. It doesn't mean that you've got no skills, no experience that can't be used in another way. And yeah, and it's completely okay and actually quite normal, sadly, but we just don't really talk about it much.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. So I feel like I need some kind of, you know, chart music in the background. Moving on up the charts, number two.
Number two, and this I guess I've touched on a little bit, is that you're not an island, you're not alone. So I know I've just said you're not alone in feeling those things if you're feeling them, but in any part of being a working mum, you know, seek support, because again, I think we can have this feeling that we need to be seen to be able to do it all. You know, yes, we're great mums and we're great employees or, you know, business people, whatever it is that we do, and we're great, you know, holding it all together, and, you know, this sort of label of being like, oh, you're such a, you know, you're Wonder Woman, you're this, you're, you know, we're not islands, and it's okay to seek support. So I would say, whether that is at home, whether that's through your work, whether that's, you know, professionally with a coach, whatever it might be. And when I say support, I don't mean because you've hit rock bottom and life's terrible. Absolutely, if that is the case, then definitely seek support. But just make it part of your usual world. Engage with people, ask for help, ask for advice. And I think the more you do that, the more you put it out there as well. I think if you're needing support, or well, not even needing, but just sort of engaging in support yourself, you're much more likely to put yourself out there to support other people, because you'll recognize how good that is for everybody around you. And I think, you know, again, when I speak to clients, quite often they do feel quite alone, and it's sort of like, it's all on me, and if I don't carry on doing this, everyone's going to suffer, and work don't know I feel like this, or, you know, I didn't get any support when I returned to work, I was just expected to get on with it. And that's all not okay. But I guess similarly to my first point in at number five, was if we don't ask for it, we don't necessarily get it.
It's so true. I mean, everything you're saying, Rebecca, is just really resonating. And I had this thing yesterday, an email came through from the school saying, oh, reminder, which means we know you've all forgotten, on Friday, it's sports day, in inverted commas, 8:30 till 10:30. After that, your child can go home. And I have got such a stacked day on Friday. And I was thrown into this panic. And exactly as you just said, this sense that I work from home. So the majority of childcare and things, wraparound care falls on my shoulders. So there was this sense of, oh my God, I've got to carry this as well. We've just had the long weekend, half term, et cetera, et cetera. And I was at the school gate having a rant, and literally just three or four women said to me, or people said to me, well, we can have your son, we can help, we can do this. And it was just, you're absolutely right. It's that thing of, don't think you're an island. You're not responsible for supporting everyone all the time.
Exactly. And I think, you know, it's that whole put your own oxygen mask on first mantra. If you're not supporting yourself by seeking support from other people or allowing other people to step in, you know, like with my husband, we always sort of had a set up which days he did and sort of drop off some things. But actually, I'm working more hours now, but I was still doing everything the same I was doing before. And just a couple of months ago, I said, actually, I'm not working 3 days anymore. I work 4 days now, but you're still only doing one drop off and pick up. Doesn't seem quite like, can you do Wednesdays as well? And actually he was like, let me have a look. Okay, yeah, I can make that work. If something's spiraling and you just don't have enough hours in the day, ask for help, because that's a steady slope to burnout if you just try and do everything all the time.
Definitely, definitely. And so we come to number one. It's not really a hierarchy. It's not really hierarchy. They're all great advice. But yes, so what's your fifth and final
number
piece?
Number one, and again, I've sort of talked about a bit of this already, but I really want to just sort of labour the point, is that you are the most important person in your world. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. I don't mean that in a, you know, it's all about you way. But if you're not happy, the people around you are more than likely going to know that you're not, at best feel bad for you, more than likely be, you know, experiencing some of the brunt of that. And I'm talking about, you know, as a career coach now, happy in your work. So if you're not feeling satisfied, feeling motivated, feeling excited, feeling like you want to do your job, you're going to suffer. You know, it's a fact. There's lots of research that says, you know, if you're unhappy, if you're disengaged in your work on a, you know, sort of prolonged basis, you will feel the effects. You know, you will have episodes of feeling quite down or depressed, your mental health will suffer, your sleep will suffer, you will take less care of yourself, you'll fall into that spiral of, well, I just don't have time and I can't be bothered and I don't want to, and, you know, probably even start disengaging socially or with your family, sort of just not wanting to do stuff. And you've got probably, I don't know obviously how old everyone is listening to this, but probably a good 20 years ahead of you of your working world. And I think what I always find interesting about this is when people come to me feeling unhappy, like they want to change their career, they'll often say, you know, but it's too late. I'm 40, I've come this far, you know, I don't know how to do anything else. But then in the next breath, they'll go, I can't do this for another 20 years. So I'm like, well, hang on a minute, it's too late, yet you've still got 20 years. Like, that doesn't make sense. So I think, you know, if, like I say, if you're unhappy in your work, do something about it. So whether that is speaking to your work, sort of identifying what it is that's making you unhappy, and there's things that you could sort of change internally. Could you, you know, is there something you could do differently? Could something shift, something move? Is it the organisation that you just actually need to get away from? Do you need a total change in your career? You know, work out what it is that you need to make you happy, because quite honestly, if you're not, it's going to impact everything about your life. And I'm not being dramatic in that, it's personal experience. And as I say, most of my clients have sort of hit that point when they come to me. So I think, yeah, just know that you're not there to, and again, this is what I hear people say, it's like, well, if I, you know, if I change jobs or if I take my foot off the gas, then we won't have as much money and the whole family will suffer and the children won't have the life that I want them to have and, you know, our lifestyle will change. And you know, that may or may not be true. It doesn't mean you're going to suddenly earn nothing. And even if you do take some time out, and financially that is the case for a short while, it's not forever. But what value is a healthy bank account with a very unhappy person? You know, at the end of it, it's not good for anybody. So yeah, I think my top one would be that you're important, your happiness is important. And if it's not there, you know, listen to that and definitely try to do something about it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. So much rich content in there. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Phew, there was a lot in there and in quite a short space of time, but a number of things that you'll have heard Rebecca interlace. So just to recap, her top five pieces of all-time career advice for working mums were: don't just accept that things aren't working, whether that's at home or at work. Challenge and voice your concerns. Expect to feel differently after you've had kids, whether that's about yourself and potentially your work. It's not the end. You will go on to be whatever it is you actually want to be. It may just take a bit more time or effort. You are not an island. Ask for help where and when you need it. And lastly, you are the most important person in your world. So if you aren't happy with things or things aren't working for you, then you deserve to prioritise yourself. Huge thanks to Rebecca. And don't forget to check her out on our website or hers, rebeccaamincoaching.co.uk. You'll find heaps of tools and career advice over on careeringintomotherhood.com. Thanks very much for listening.